This morning is someone I happen to know personally and very well. And I'm sure she's been a little nervous, but she's going to do a great job. Her topic is letting go and letting God. And one of her favorite topics I know from personal experience. And I would like to introduce Portia A., Washington, D.C.
Thank you. My name is Portia, and I'm an addict. And sponsors always say such nice stuff about you, don't they? And I just truly, y'all, I have to be honest with you. I ain't sleep good last night. I've been nervous. I've been, you know, my God, and we're all addicts. Why are you tripping like this, Portia? You know, and the reality is still have that nervousness, that fear, you know, that, you know, wanting to be accepted, you know, and it's just, you know, it's amazing because one of the ladies that I came down with, and, you know, she was like, it is not that serious, you know what I'm saying? It really is not that serious, you know, and I know that I do have a God in my life, and I know that this power is working in my life, and I just like to read a few excerpts from step three. Now, let me also share with y'all, you know, I always, first person I always call when I'm asked to lead a meeting is my sponsor. And I said, well, you know, that topic, I said, what steps do you think? And she said, well, what steps do you think? I said, well, I think it's 3 and 7 and 11. She said, well, pretty much you should just try to stick with number 3. So I'm telling y'all right now, I do take the suggestions of my sponsor. So I'm just going to read a few excerpts from step 3, and then I'm going to share. One is to continue our efforts to develop a personal relationship with a God of our understanding. Another is to give up our efforts at controlling everything around us. And then we savor the laughter and the joy we hear expressed so abundantly in our meetings. And my name again is Portia. I'm an addict. And y'all, I truly, you know what, for me, humor helps me, you know, I, as far as did not come in here and, you know, like, yes, you know, everything, you know, has to be, you know, serious, because the bottom line is laughter helps me. And I once heard somebody share, sometimes laughter can relieve pain, you know, and truly, I believe that. I was introduced to the program of Narcotics Anonymous May of 1991. And I, you know, did the suggestions that were given to me as far as to, you know, get a sponsor, go to meetings, and get a God of your understanding. When I, as far as, can honestly tell y'all that when it came to as far as the relationship issue, if you were not telling me what I wanted to hear about the relationships, then the reality is I ain't paying you no attention. And I feel, you know, that for me today, that in order to get help, you know, I must be open, I must be willing, I must be honest about, you know, what's going on with me at all times. And as a direct result of, you know, my choice and my decision, you know, after being around here 6 years and 5 months, I used again. It did not get any better. It got worse. I added to my story, and I know today that I'm just grateful that God allowed me to get back March 17th, 1999, and I have not found it necessary to use since then. And excuse me. And I know that for me, when I think about my story, and you know, I get with my sponsor and do step work, that through my story, I know there's been a power greater than me, you know, that has helped me, you know, because the reality is everybody that goes back out doesn't make it back in, you know. I know that in my story, it, you know, it shows me as far as how many times this power and this God of my understanding has helped me, you know, through everything that I've gone through. I am a Washingtonian, born and raised. I come from a family of 6. I'm the youngest of the 6 children. And I wish I could tell y'all that, you know, I'm the only addict that was in my household, but I wasn't. Part of my story is I even used with my mother. And the reality is that she didn't put a gun to my head or pressure me to use, and nobody in my family did. I made that decision, you know. And I know today that I was not a victim, you know. I made the choice, and as far as I did what I felt that I wanted to do at that time. And I know that today, when I look at as far as from whence I've come, that perfect example, I was going through all this, you know, feelings about, you know, leading this meeting and everything. But the reality is, you know, all I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. That's it. That's it. And I know that as far as it's been a lot that has transpired in this year as far as when I know that I've had to really call on God for as far as guidance, because I, in January, an ex-husband that I, through this program, I've learned that, you know, to still remain friends with individuals in spite of whatever transpires in our relationships. And anyway, I had remained friends with this guy, and in January, he passed. He was only 53, he was clean, and he was in the rooms. And I, as far as know today that I don't as far as handle death well, you know, and I know that it's a process of grieving that you must go through. And I know that as far as when I look at as far as the age of people when they're, you know, departing here, and I look at as far as I'm 51 now, and I do as far as have some ailments myself. And bottom line, y'all, there's some fear there. Let me get real here. It's some fear there because, excuse me. I know that as far as when you accept as far as the program of Narcotics Anonymous and you try to follow, you know, the program to the best of your ability, then and when you accept the God of your understanding, then whatever happens in your life, you're supposed to as far as go on. But I'm still, you know, battling with certain areas of my life that I have fear in, you know. And I know that a lot of things that I still do, even being in recovery, perfect example is I still have a fear of people, I guess I want to say it that way, because I still carry, and I need to get this out because the bottom line is the only way I can get some help is to be honest about what's going on. I still carry a weapon, and I just recently, through as far as being with the group of my network, and we going over as far as my group, we had to name five things that we like about ourselves. Five assets and one defect. And my defect that I named was that I have fear of as far as being harmed or hurt. And it's because, y'all, it seems like I always seem to see somebody being hurt, either going to work or even on the TV or even, you know, it's always some harm that I be seeing done to people. And I just, as far as use, I think that I'm going to be safe if I have a weapon. And that's not real, y'all, because I can still, you know, get checked up out of here. And what, as far as was suggested to me after we finished this meeting, was that when we come back 30 days after that to, as far as have a solution how to remove that fear, that defect, to as far as go on, you know, to grow. Because I didn't come around here, y'all, this time not to grow, not to get better. You know, I don't want to be as sick as I was, you know, when I got here. You know, I really want to as far as relinquish anything that is not positive as far as for my personal growth in the Narcotics Anonymous program. And I know that as far as carrying weapons is not growth. It ain't no growth whatsoever in that. And I know this, and it's like I'm talking about it, and I prayed before I came down here, y'all, so what's coming out is what's supposed to be. And I know that as far as I have faith, and I believe in the God of my understanding, and it's still that part, because I remember a gentleman that they always called him the friend of the addict. He once told me, he said, "Portia, you know, you seem to have, you know, as far as belief, but you don't trust, no matter what happens, that your God of your understanding is going to get you through whatever, you know, I have to face." And he was right, you know, and I'm still, like I said, I'm still trying, you know, to the best of my ability to get better in that area, you know, and to relinquish this fear, you know. And I know I've heard, you know, some people, you know, have their different definitions for, you know, the four letters of that word. But mine, you know, I try to use is false evidence appearing real, you know. And I know when I got diagnosed with hepatitis C, you know, you know, I can't tell y'all that I was a real happy camper when I found out about it. And I wish I could tell y'all that I had shared this in an open meeting before. But like I said, this is God's will, and I need to get some help for real. And when I went to my sponsor and some other people, you know, it's like the bottom line is, and the reality is, you shot dope. What did you, you know? Things happen when you do things that you do, you know. And yeah, that might sound really cold, but it's really reality, you know. You know, I'm not exempt from anything. And can I tell y'all that as far as I'm, you know, I'm okay with it today? No, because if I was, I wouldn't have to be sharing about it, you know. I know that as far as I have, as far as did the first steps that were required by the doctors for me, and I've done that, and I know that's through only, you know, prayer and people praying for me, and, you know, as far as trying to the best of my ability, you know, to turn it over. I have not started the actual other medicine because I'm still, like I said, dealing with as far as making a decision on that. But I do know that when that lady told me if I didn't start the initial ones, that I wouldn't be here now. So, of course, reality set in. So I did do the initial injections in the doctor's office. And that's another thing, that I don't really want to have needles in my house. You know what I'm saying? And this part now that I would have to start doing, I'd have to do that myself. I don't know. I can only speak for myself. I'm not really trying to be putting no needle in my arm today. I'm just not. You know, I'll go to the doctor. I'll let them do it. And when I, as far as get better within myself, you know, about it, then, you know, I will start the procedure. But as of today, I have not started the second part. And I also need to touch on as far as that, you know, when they changed it to in here, if I don't go to any other meeting, I always go to the Sunrise meeting, because I do feel that the God of my understanding, I get in touch with him out there on the beach and you know, watching the sun come up. And, you know, it's just very spiritual for me to be out there on the beach. And a meeting is a meeting, and a meeting, as she said, the meeting must go on. But it was like, okay, all right. Got to do it inside. Do the best you can. And it's really interesting that I, as far as we get the Let Go and Let God title, because it's a lot of things, as y'all have heard, that I need to let go and let God, you know. And they say, don't nothing happen by coincidence or mistake. And I know that, You know, it's also as far as when I look at, you know, the step three, and it talks about as far as, you know, you have to, as far as, you know, turn it completely over to the God of your understanding. That part of it, you know, not a portion, all of it, in order to get, you know, the help that you need in order to go on. And I'm still in my process. I'm still in my process. And I'm not trying to use the excuse, but I'm just trying to be real about where I'm at right now. And I know that as far as when I look at the situation, when I came in here, my son was very young. And as far as the first time when I was introduced to the program, didn't really forgive myself for the things that I did to my son. And when I, as far as got to the eighth step and making a list, and then to the ninth and doing the amends, I remember I really was okay with everybody's amends but my son, you know, because I felt I had done a lot of harm, you know, mentally and physically to my son. And I remember, because in fact I was just talking about it yesterday when I was just going over some things in my life, and I was saying that when I went to my son said, well, you know, Mom, I really don't want to talk about the, you know, the 6+ years. I want to talk about them 12 before, you know. And by no means am I saying that because of my son's rejection, you know, you know, he's the fault of me using again the first time I came around, but I could not deal and accept my son not accepting my, you know, apology. And the reality is, and it says it right in here, just because you make your amends does not mean it has to be accepted, y'all. You know, and it's taken me a while to understand that, too. And today I can tell y'all, this time around, my son and I have a good relationship. And he calls me and asks me for advice and suggestions on making decisions in his life. So I know there is a God of my understanding working in my life, because it's not me, y'all. It really isn't, you know. I don't, as far as do everything right in here, you know. I, as far as fall short, you know, especially during the day on the job, and bottom line, I be as far as want to take everything personal, and I really need to work on that, y'all, because everything is not personal, you know. But in my mind, it's they're out to get me, you know. And the reality is, as long as I go in there and do my job, you know, and you know, mind my business, you know, I'm sure, you know, things will work out. And I know that I had been on a job for over 18 years, and it's amazing how when I came back, because I've been on this one now for 3 years, they let me go. And it was, you know, I had heard people share about it, you know, about losing jobs, and, you know, and I was like, oh, okay, okay. But when it happens to you, it's a whole different ball game. I know it was for me. Because I was in total, like, wait a minute, I was supposed to retire from this job. But wait a minute, I forgot about I used to use on that job, and I wasn't giving them their props, you know. That totally went out the window. It was now all of a sudden, why are they firing me? They should have fired me long ago, for real. But they didn't. But for the God of my understanding, you know. And I know, as I said, and I know there's a God with my life, because within 2 weeks of being laid off of that job, I did have another job to go to. And I went through the process of, you know, feeling that I was too old and, you know, who gonna hire me? And I honestly and truly, and I have to be honest with y'all, I do listen to my sponsor. And I know when I called her, she said, Portia, aren't you in school? Don't you have some skills? Because, see, y'all, I don't be thinking nothing positive about myself. I always go to the negative. It, you know, thank God for the God of my understanding, you know, and the sponsor and the network that I have. Because I need a lot of help. I really do, you know. I know I've heard it said, how much time you have is as far as how old you are. And so that makes me 8 years old, okay? So I got a long ways to go, a whole lot of time to go. But I know that I do as far as believe in a God of my understanding. I know that if I, as far as surrender, you know, that it does work, you know, I don't know, y'all. I really, you know, I know she told me 75 minutes, but I was like, you know, after 15 minutes, I'm pretty much done. And she said, you got to do it for 75. And I was like, okay, I'll try my best. But I do not want to get to lying to y'all for real, making up stuff that is not real. So, you know what? I'm done. Thank you for letting me share.
Up to the floor. And you call on the speaker.
Come on, baby.
My name is Tom. I'm an addict.
Hey, Tom.
Thank you for sharing, Portia. Your thoughts, your story kind of helped me with my journey. I don't want to cross talk, so I was focused on myself. But realizing how sensitive I am as this fog starts to dissipate. I'm at 9 months and 11 days.
All right.
That means the sponsor, the network. It's a great experience. And as you speak, it brought up thoughts about how sensitive I am. And now that I don't have this fog to hide in, not only am I dealing with all these little feelings that go in me that I like to describe as little bombs, because if I don't take these charges and handle my feelings from my hands, they stay in there and they tear me up. It's what I believe. But I'm realizing I have feelings for other people. Like, for the first time, as I dissipate, like, all the feelings inside me is the best way to describe it. I can't say that it's a fact. This is just my feeling, an idea of what I believe. Basically, as all these feelings from my past are just kind of coming up, and I get on fire and deal with it in my network and my sponsor, which I've worked so hard to get, I start realizing as I listen to other people's stories, sometimes there's tears coming to my eyes, and sometimes there's people around me, and I see suggestions that are inside me and wisdom inside me. Wherever it came from, it's there, but it might help this person, but that ego and inferiority might be charged up, and I can't cross the line, and I don't want to be there and be an audience to someone hurting themselves and others, because I feel like that encourages, but I can't reach over and grab their hands, because what kind of journey would that be if someone was controlling hands? But I'm starting to realize as you were speaking, it was like an epiphany that I can express how I feel for another person. I may not be able to, their ears may not be open to me, but I'm willing to, if they give me the attention and seem interested, offer how I feel. I feel worried as I play the tape forward for this person and, you know, a simple few words. Or I might even be able to just look up as I pray and then display that to them, or even, you know, express the feelings of me being worried for myself, but looking at them as me being worried for them. And I guess that's a nice practice for me and my higher power, is to kind of talk to each other, and if I get the opportunity to express, I feel worried for you, or I feel sad for you, And that's all I can do. I can feel for people. I can't control people. And those thoughts came to me, and I feel like this is something that would be a new practice for me, and something I'd like to share with my sponsor and my network to try. But Portia, it came to me as you were speaking. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sure. Family, my name is Audie. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Sorry I missed all your qualifications. Really tried to get up this morning. I'm running a little late, but I guess I'm on time too. I heard you speaking about your son. When I was married to his mother years back, my son is going to be 32 in October, and due to my cheating, I got involved with another woman, and my wife at that time had the sense to divorce. My son was 14 probably at that time. The woman that I was cheating with, she had a son and a daughter, also a year older than my son and daughter. The girls never met, but the two boys did meet. I can remember when you were sharing how they, up in the Bronx, there was a store called Alexander on Fordham Road, big department store, and she had told me many years back, you know, I just want to see what he looks like. So bring him up to Alexander's and just kind of like stand at the bus stop, you know, and I'll just come so I can see what your son looks like. From that day on, that was like a bad move. This woman had a lot of affection for him, and as time went by and even after the divorce, the two boys got to know each other. I can remember many vacations I would take my son and take her son and take them on vacation. My son was always at ill ease. I can remember him telling me years ago, why he called you dad? You know, and, you know, that was before the crack, too. I would tell him, well, like, you know, I kind of, you know, raised him. And I never really thought the damage I was probably doing. Up until now, my son, and that boy still comes back, comes by every once in a while. He works for Brooklyn Union Gas, and he'll bring that big truck and park it in front of my house and ring the bell, and we would chat and stuff. I believe at one point the two boys would pal around and get to know each other. My son moved down to Virginia. We stayed up in New York, and my son now lives back in New York with me for a couple of years. I don't even know if the boys touch base. I don't think any more as they did when they were young. Through my addiction, they would come up to the Bronx, and I guess when my son would hit town from Virginia up to New York, he'd pick up Ian, the other kid, and they would come from Brooklyn up into the Bronx at that time, and, you know, and we'd all just kind of sit around, and probably I was looking like hell, you know, smoking crack, and that job that you talked about, I had one of those two, and, you know, when they dismissed me, it was like, now I can sit down and get that first hit again, because, gee, I just don't have time to run there every damn morning to the job and just bullshit all day, try to get off, you know, and like that. So it was like a relief, as I thought, you know. Getting back to the boys, my son and I have a rocky relationship. He's my only boy. Like I said, he's going to be 32 in October. I'm 63. And it's probably never going to be like it was many years ago, you know. He works for me. I own a piece of property, 16 apartment, family house. He manages, supposedly. But he'll go off track and do what the hell he wants to do. And I raise hell with him. I'm getting better with cursing him out in front of the other workers and the contractors and stuff, you know. I'm getting better with that. I got to curse him out later on the phone because he doesn't do what I tell him to do. And we lose money and, you know, we lose my money. And, you know, it's a shame that'll never probably be as it was when he was younger, much younger. I got to be happy that he says he forgives me because we ask for forgiveness when we start to tear up a little bit. And, you know, the rooms have taught me not to be, many times I wanted to put him out, send him back down to Virginia to his mother because, damn it, he's really messed to be around, you know, and that woman ain't even got no hair no more on her head, man. That boy, and kind of, I guess, or maybe her own personal stuff. Bottom line, he's up with me. I've told him many times, listen, leave before another winter's over. You know, you can go about your business. He ain't trying to find a job. He want to manage my place. He want to probably break my chops. I don't know. You know, it's hard, you know. He knows what the rooms of recovery does. He knows what it's done for me. You know, and yet and still, we just have that real rocky relationship. Family members, my older daughter, even my younger one, which isn't even the same mother, say, you know, you two are so much alike, but I don't know. I never had a problem getting up in the morning going to work before a crack. That boy never got up and went to work, you know. Spoiled probably from the beginning. I ain't trying to put everything on him. The bottom line is I'm trying to figure the best way to have a real good relation with my son, a relationship with my son. And from some years now that he's been back in my life, he lives in the apartment house. He doesn't pay rent. He gets a little piece of salary. He's happy with that. Because it ain't a whole lot of money. I ain't going to give him a whole lot of money. And he just going to screw up a whole lot of money. Come ask him for the moment. My idea is I like to see him be a man. It wasn't no problem getting up when I was his age and get up in the morning, dig a ditch, build a boiler. Did that kind of stuff. And he's a big, strong kid, but he's not a ditch digger, boiler kind of young fellow. And you tell him to do certain things, approach certain tenants. Did you finish that paperwork? I don't want him to pull the garbage. I don't want him to live in the basement. I don't want him to mop the floor. But he likes pulling the garbage and things. You know, we've lost a couple of supers. He won't mop that damn hallway. And you got to keep people happy when you're asking for your rent money. Because nobody loves the landlord. Never did get no love from nobody on the business side. I'm going to keep coming. And I'm going to keep working with this young fellow. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm an addict. My name is Lynette. Hello, family. First, I'd like to thank God for allowing me to be here. This program is very important, and it has helped me this weekend a whole lot. I lost my job as a direct result of envy, hate, and jealousy. I have 12 years clean and have been on my job 11 years, so I did not use on my job. And I have had a perfect attendance record for 11 years, and I was railroaded, and I'm pissed off. And that's a let go and let God. Because I want to know, why, God, would you allow this to happen to me when you taught me to do the right thing? And I've been doing it, and I've been paying my bills. And you've allowed me to get a mortgage, be in the house for 9 whole years. Got a house on wheels, car payment, car that costs as much as a house. And now I'm facing foreclosure. My son's in private school and on the honor roll, and now he might be forced to go to public school. Because I was making $75,000 to $80,000, and now I got to start my career over at 40 years old. And I don't know which way to go or where to go. And that's when I had to let go and let God. And God, I can't see him, but I know he's there. And I know he's working in the midst of it. And I kept praying to God. I kept fasting because that's something that I do on the side. And I keep reading. I read the literature here. I read other literature that have things to tell me more about God so I can get a better understanding of God, so I can know God's ways, so that when God comes that I don't miss him. And I've been crying out to God, and people have been telling me this whole weekend that it's going to be okay, but still I don't have the money to pay my mortgage that's due on the 30th. And I'm a little concerned. And I'm letting go and letting God, but in the process, it hurts really bad. One thing God showed me since I've been here, I haven't been asleep for a couple of days. But I've been enjoying myself. I just had too much coffee. He showed me how much he loved me through people. You see, because since I had become so responsible in my recovery, I forgot how important it was to talk to you about it. Because a lot of times, sometimes I might have needed a hug, whereas though I'd rather stay in the house with my dog and say that I don't have any friends in the world and nobody can help me and it's just me and my dog. God has taught me from being around here how to fear no evil and to trust in his presence. Because I know when I'm in the right state with God, I have nothing to fear. And when you were sharing about fear, that's how I learned not to be afraid. It's because I had to trust that he would give me the power and the sound mind that comes with trusting in the God of my understanding. And I found out that fear is actually something that comes from evil. And that's what I found out just from myself. And now today, I don't even care if I die. I don't care if I lose my house. I don't care if I lose my house. I don't care if I lose anything in this recovery process, as long as I don't have to use one day at a time. Because he has given me way more than I ever asked or hoped or dreamed. All I wanted to do was stop sniffing heroin, stop smoking crack, and I wanted to just start a life without using drugs every single day, all day long. He has given me that. And that's all I came here for. And he's given me so much more. And he still has so much more to offer me. I am the strongest woman I've ever been in my entire life because Narcotics Anonymous has risen me and he has showed me a God that will not leave me or forsake me. He has shown me a God that church could not show me, not a God that judged me, but a God that would stand with me and feed me every day without money in my pocket. He has showed me a God that would love me in spite of myself. When I didn't want to do step work and relapse over 5 years of the beginning of my recovery, and still he allotted me a place to come back to. I came around here in 21 years or so age. I didn't feel as though I was really an addict. I came here because you guys were having fun. There were dances going on. And I knew at that time that there was a problem with using, even though it hadn't taken everything from me at that time. And even when I finally got here, some people around here felt as though maybe I still had some more time out there in the street, but he gave me literature to let me know that I don't have to do what some other people did, and that I could recover one day at a time, regardless of what you thought, and that I didn't have to worry about what you thought, but all I could do was just go off of your experiences, strengths, and hope, and I could take those things that were positive that you shared about and use them to my advantage, and those things that were negative that you shared about and use them things to my advantage. He told me that if I would listen to you, I wouldn't have to go through some of the things that you went through. He showed me how I could come around here and practice a lot of things, go to the hospital and work on some things in my life and straighten it out. They said I was pre-diabetic, but without having fear, I finally went and got it checked out and everything, and they said if you exercise, stop eating so much sugar and calm down some of that fat, you might be okay. And then after I started doing that and exercising, my sugar's been fine. He also showed me that he can overpower any disease that's in my body. People here have been shown up with HIV and then it has actually left and different things have gone on because he must show glory in his name. I don't claim any diseases if any are present because of a disease of active addiction. I know at that time I could have accumulated and got anything. But from coming around here, what happened to me was I started getting tested early because I had a nasty old boy come over to me, dance with me, have sex with me, get me pregnant, and then have his girlfriend come and share that she was HIV positive in a meeting and have my cousin come and tell me when I'm 4 months pregnant. So this person had no respect over my life. And that was 13 years ago. And I do not have HIV. And his father does not have HIV. But the woman he slept with had HIV. And he didn't even tell me. And I had resentment many years about that. But today I do speak to that guy. And that is my son's father. And I do not tell his son how his father affected me, because I want him to have a relationship with him. But I thank him today because then now I have over 10 HIV tests that I would have been so afraid to take. It helped me to get a quick hold that HIV is very prevalent in this fellowship and that it would be one of the fastest killing diseases among this fellowship. I feel very guilty since I've been back, because I've been so busy with my life, and when I came, I was very disappointed to see that some people were playing around with the disease of active addiction and non-active addiction, even in the realms of Narcotics Anonymous. Even though I cannot control somebody else, I feel as though I wasn't doing my part on showing some of the correct paths that should be demonstrated by how I walk, and also just letting people know what happened to me. Because right now, I can see that sometimes people take NA for a joke. And they probably thought the same thing about me when I came here. But some people took some time to say, it ain't a joke, and you need to get serious, and you need to get on the front row, and you need to shut up, and you don't know nothing. And it helped me, even though it offended me. I don't think that I should be worrying about a relationship and all these kind of things when I'm crazy as a bed bug. I have 12 years, and as a result of this program, I have no desire to use other people to make me feel good. I don't even have to masturbate. And that's as a direct result of this program. Finding an inward peace. Knowing how to sit still. Knowing how to pray and not pick up. Go to meetings and talk to other people who have the same diseases I have. And it's worked. I can remember coming around here saying how this boy did that and that boy did this. And how this happened, and not even keep the focus on myself. And now I know today, most of the problems that I have is a direct result of something that I did myself. I know today that I love everybody, and I put everybody above myself, and I have a disease of some kind of low self-esteem, that I have to stay vigilant and be aware of all my motives. Because what happens is that if I do something onto you, it's liable to come upon me. So I try to treat you how I want to be treated, regardless of how you treat me. So if you hate me, I love you. If you despise me, I love you. Because I found out that that's God's ways. Because even I find today that that makes me feel better. Because God had to break me down about this job situation to keep me from hating my boss. Keep from hating some of the people in my city that came up against me to have this done. Because they've seen how much God has blessed me and has offended a lot of people. God put some people in this fellowship who paid my way. I feel like a newcomer. I never got my newcomer pass, and he gave it to me. And he gave me a free vacation in the middle of a storm. And now I can see how the newcomer feels when somebody pays their way when they have nothing, no clothes. I had lost weight. I gave all my clothes away. I gave all my shoes away to a homeless shelter. And I have nothing, but I have me. Material things mean nothing to me. I could walk around with the same pants on every day and look so beautiful as a result of this program because I'm clean today. Nobody can take that away from me. I remember I came around here. I couldn't come in here unless I had some kind of designer clothes on, some kind of special bag across my shoulder, some kind of special hairdo, and now I could give a care less. I've been up all night. I've been drinking coffee and all that and enjoying every single meeting, and I didn't want to miss this one. I figure I got all next week to sleep and look for a job. So let's take advantage of it. But it's a lot of people that came in. So, you know, with that, you know, it was good hearing you share, you know. And all I can say is sometimes when I can't do nothing else, all I do is just keep praying for God to take some of these kind of things, like what you were saying, as far as fear. And I know sometimes, like, I know for me, like, people who didn't have fear or something like that, when I had a lot of fear, I would go to them in this program, and God put them there to give me some free psychiatric help and tell me, well, hey, mister, how'd you get rid of your fear? And he had to do it for free, whoever I asked. How did they do it? They would explain it, and usually if I followed their ways, it would work for me. And with that, I keep coming back.
Sure.